Blog Talk Radio.
To the classroom, the workplace, and the transportation required to get there. Equal opportunity to live full and independent lives the way we choose. Not dependence, but independence. That's what the ADA was all about. But while it was a historic milestone in the journey to equality, it wasn't the end. There was and is more to do.
Until every American with a disability can learn in their local public school in the manner best for them, until they can apply for a job without fear of discrimination and live and work independently in their communities, if that's what they choose, we've got more work to do. As long as we as a people still too easily succumb to casual discrimination or fear of the unfamiliar, we've got work to do. End quote. President Barack Obama, July 26, 2010. When injured in a car accident, what happens to those individuals who become disabled? Is there affordable medical care? What about your job? Is there legislation in place to help? Where does the Obama administration stand on these issues? Let's explore this today. Welcome, and thank you for joining Talking About You with Estra, live on Blog Talk Radio, this February 16, 2013. This is your car accident talk radio show, sharing information and concerns that help you. Hi, I'm Estra, your host. Thank you for joining in today to talk about President Obama's record on disability, with so many different versions of what has or has not been done by this administration. It's important to see what has been signed by the president into law, in addition to other actions which may have an impact on the lives of those living with a disability, especially those injured in a car accident. Barack H. Obama is the 44th president of the United States. The White House website describes him as, quote, "the American story, values from the heartland, a middle-class upbringing and a strong family, hardworking and education as the means of getting ahead, and the conviction that life, that a life so blessed should be lived in service to others," end quote. As always, the views and opinions expressed are my own and have no association with the Obama administration or the writers of any articles presented today. This review comes from an injured and disabled person's perspective, which may differ from others who see it from a financial, policy, political, or additional point of view. So let's begin with a few quotes from Breaking Down Barriers to Healthcare for Women with Disabilities. It's a white paper from the National Summit dated December 2004, Washington, D.C., by the Department of Health and Human Services. Although these quotes concentrate on women, I suspect disabled men encounter similar circumstances. However, typically having a higher income and socioeconomic class may somewhat lessen the impact. Quote, "Women with disabilities face substantial barriers that limit their access to healthcare services, including physical, attitudinal, and policy barriers, lack of information about how disability affects health, limited finances, and insufficient personal assistance," end quote. And this is from Joanne Theory, PhD, MSW, Center for Disease and Control Prevention. Quote, "Women with disabilities are among the most economically disadvantaged and this increases their risk of health problems. As a group, they have lower socioeconomic status, less education, and are less likely to be married. And this comes from Margaret A. Turk, MD, SUNY, Upstate Medical University. Quote, people with disabilities use healthcare services at a higher rate than people without disabilities, yet commonly express dissatisfaction with their healthcare. They are susceptible to disparities in healthcare and experience widespread lack of appropriate accommodation. And this comes from Judith Panko, Reese, MA, MS, Rehabilitation Institute of Chicago. Quote, women of color with disabilities use fewer health care services and continue to suffer more from premature death, disease, and secondary disabilities. And this comes from Sharon Wood Dennis, and it's with Rose Incorporated. In America should have to live or endure the treatment of a second-class citizen. Everyone should be treated with respect and dignity. It is time, in my opinion, to provide the opportunities to the injured, sick, and disabled, the opportunities to live for their dreams and make contributions to our society that make it better. The next disabled person you meet, have an open mind, expel any preconceived notions, let them live their lives and not be boxed into a perception that is built, in my opinion, on falsehood. United Nations Enabled website has a fact sheet on persons with disability, and I want to read a few of those from there. Quote, around 10% of the world's population, or 650 million people, live with a disability. They are the largest minority in the world. Can you believe that? I'm adding to can't believe that. I'm starting to interject my points here. Number two, this figure is increasing through population growth, medical advances, and the aging process, says the World Health Organization. In countries with life expectancies of over 70 years, individuals spending on average about 8 years or 11.5% of their lifespan living with a disability. Okay, this is me. I have to interject here. I do that quite a bit sometimes. This means that every individual can expect at some point in their life to have a disability, especially if you live over 70 years. That means you want in place legislation and you want attitudes about disability to be one that is positive, that understands the situation of people who become injured, because it's going to be you someday. Okay, that's the end of my comment. I'm going to the next one. 80% of persons with disabilities live in developing countries, according to the UN Development Program. Disability rates are significantly higher among groups with lower educational attainment in the countries of Organizations for Economic Cooperation and Development. Okay? In most of these countries, women report higher incidence of disabilities than men. The World Bank estimates that 20% of the world's poorest people have some kind of disability, and tend to be regarded in their own communities as the most disadvantaged. I have to stop there for a moment. You know, it's really a lot easier to help somebody, to give them a helping hand, than just to ignore them and watch them suffer. One day that might be you suffering, and you're going to want a helping hand. You never know what's going to happen in your life, and nothing can prevent. Not wealth, not poverty, nothing, not a great mind, a great body, nothing can prevent sometimes someone having a disability. You just never know. People, in fact, every single day are in car accidents. When they got up that morning, they had no idea what was going to happen to them that afternoon. or that evening. So you have to understand
thank you
that this really can be
talking
you,
about you,
not
with
you
Estra.
Now. It
who
will
am I speaking
be you
with?
More than likely if you keep living. Okay, I want to go to the next one. Women with disabilities are recognized to be multiple disadvantaged, experiencing exclusion on account of their gender and their disability. And that's sad. Women and girls with disabilities are particularly vulnerable to abuse. I have to stop here. What is going on in society? Why would anyone pick on people who are vulnerable? Why? This is not right. Think about what you're doing. Think about if you're hurting someone else. Would you want somebody to hurt you? No. Has somebody hurt you? Then that's not right either. But that doesn't mean you have to take it out on someone else. Honestly, give it a try. It's a lot easier to help someone, and it's more enriching to lift someone up than to tear them down or to abuse them. Really, give it a try. See if it changes your life. Okay, I'm going back to the article here. In 2004, the United States survey found that only 35% of the working age persons with disabilities are in fact working, compared to 78% of those without disabilities. Two-thirds of the unemployed respondents with disabilities said they would like to work but could not find jobs. Okay, it's me interjecting again here. In my opinion, this is because of preconceived notions. When you begin to start looking at people with disabilities as you look at everyone else with certain strengths, certain weaknesses, and evaluate them for the whole person, in my opinion, your perception of disability will change. Everyone learns to compensate in some way for the gifts they have or the gifts they don't have. So as far as being able to do different things in life, if you give people the opportunity and they're working through their disabilities, which most people are trying to do on a daily basis, and some have found some very creative ways to compensate. So don't just judge someone by from what you see. Give disabled people the opportunities to be a great friend, to be a great worker, okay? To get to know them, to treat them fair and with respect in your family. Okay, I'm going back. A 2003 study by Rutgers University found that people with physical and mental disabilities continue to be vastly underrepresented in the workplace. And in my opinion, I'm stopping again, this is because of stereotypes and false perceptions. And I'll go on here, I'm going back here, it says the reason why. It says one-third of the employer's survey said that the person with disabilities cannot effectively perform the required job tasks. The second most common reason given for not hiring persons with disabilities was the fear of costly special facilities. I have to stop here for just a moment. This is why I personally believe in a single-payer system. In my opinion, when employers are also, and can be in most cases now, your medical provider, that's a conflict of interest. You don't want someone concerned about your paying out bills for you and also working. And plus, that authorizes them to have too much information about you. And plus, if you get injured and you have a disability claim with them, they're not going to be all that interested in paying out that claim. And many people don't get it. And that's why I personally believe ERISA needs to be changed now. It's hurting too many people. Okay, I'm going to go back to the article before I get into some of my other issues here. It says, the Job Accommodation Network of the United States Department of Labor Official Office of Disability Employment states that employers in the 2010 study reported that a high percentage, 56% of the accommodations cost absolutely nothing to make, while the rest cost about $600. So then again, that goes back, this is me talking here, of the perception that people have about people with disabilities. And I think that the way in which people pride themselves on their company or their families need to perhaps take a second look and see, wait a minute, there is some actual attributes that these people have that we're not counting. And that might just actually balance out the equation. Okay, I'm going to go to the next one. Companies report that employees with disabilities have a better retention rate, reducing the high cost of turnover, says a 2002 U.S. study. The other American surveys revealed that after 1 year of employment, the retention rate of a person with disabilities is 85%. Let me repeat that. American surveys revealed that after 1 year of employment, the retention rate of persons with disabilities is 85%. And why is that? In my opinion, the reason is when you're disabled and you're unable to work, it's very devastating to you. Everyone wants a decent paying job and everyone wants to work. And when people who are injured or disabled are able to do that, they know the value of being able to work. They know the value of being able to get up every single morning and go to a job and do something. Just to get up and move sometimes is a very valuable thing to someone who's been disabled. Okay, I'm going to go on before I really get into some of my other opinions here. Thousands of people with disabilities have been successful as small business owners, according to the U.S. Department of Labor. The 1990 National Census reveals that persons with disabilities have a higher rate of self-employment and small business experience than persons without disabilities. And I'm stopping again for a moment here. And we can see why, or I personally can see why. It's because, first of all, no one else will hire them, and they want to work. They want to be a productive part of society. And many times the way to do that, if you're injured, is to become a small business owner or self-employment. So if you're listening today and you are injured or disabled and you want to do something with your life, but you're finding a lot of blocks in your way, decide that you're going to go ahead and make a way for yourself. And by doing that, you'll also make way for other disabled people. So don't give up hope. Do not get discouraged. Keep working on fulfilling your dream. It really is important, and you deserve to be able to actually go for your dream, regardless of whether you're able or disabled. Go for it. Okay? And here's the last one they have. It says, persons with disabilities are more likely to be victims of violence or rape, according to a 2004 British study, and less likely to obtain police intervention, legal protection, or preventive care. Now, this is really a pet peeve of mine. This is me interjecting again. Why in the world, in our society, do we have police if they're not going to assist the people who need the most? I don't get that. Why would people who are being harmed by violence, especially, or even rape is violence, any type of violence, why wouldn't they interject? Why would they not help people who are being harassed and intimidated by insurance companies or employers because of a disability claim? What has happened in our society when we have turned our backs, in my opinion, on many of the people who need the most help? Okay, our society can no longer be just about the money dollar. It cannot just be about greed. It's got to be about everyone helping everyone else, of having self-respect and self-pride, of saying, oh, I wouldn't do this type of thing to anyone else because I don't want it done to me. Yes, what does come around does go around. So watch out. Respect and dignity, it really is the best way to go. Don't believe all those commercials you see about violence. Violence never helped anybody. If it did, it wasn't in the right way. Okay, before I get on one of my things here. Respect, dignity, and financial stability would go a long way in improving the lives of so many injured and disabled people in our society. Many injured, sick, and our disabled people are well aware of the struggles they face. They deal with them every single day. So, but we're going to take a minute here, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the president's record on disability to improve their lives. Because in my opinion, I believe after the review I've done on the president's record that you'll see that he is someone who is really trying to help and support the disabled. So you're listening to Talking About You with Estra on Blog Talk Radio, or Estra's TV on Blog TV, or YouTube on Estra's Blog. Has tragedy struck in your life, your family's life, or friends' lives? There are thousands of car accidents every single day. People with injuries face a unique set of problems, but don't face them alone. Pick up a copy of Car Accident by Estra. Estra understands your situation and will bring wisdom, knowledge, and support. Learn from her experiences and learn insurance company and employer secrets. Car Accident by Estra is available at all major bookstores. This includes Amazon, Barnes & Noble, eBay, Google, Powell's, and Tower Books, just to name a few. Pick up a copy today. You be prepared and you be informed. Use the checklist in the back of the book at the scene of a collision, so keep a copy in your car. It's easy to forget something when you're shaken up. Isn't it about time you get answers? Buy it online right now. Then listen to Estra's radio show every Saturday morning on Blog Talk Radio. And now every Wednesday on Estra's TV on Blog TV. Now let's take a look at the president's record on disability to improve lives. Helping People with Disabilities and the 2013 budget, and it was posted to the White House by Francesca L. de Quesada. And it says, to expand funding for the education of children with disabilities, that's going to be one of them. It's going to increase the funding by $11.6 billion for the Individuals with Disability Education Act. That's what it's funding. Another one is to encourage workforce innovation to improve outcomes for people with disabilities. Another thing that is in the 2013 budget for this year is to support workers and disabilities. And it says the budget provides $24 million to the Department of Labor for the Disability Employment Initiative, which awards grants to build the capacity of one-stop career centers to serve individuals with disabilities. Another one is to reduce Social Security appeals backlog, hearing backlogs, in fact. And it says disability programs are at the forefront of the Social Security Administration's operations. The budget maintains service to the public, which SSA provides through multiple avenues. And by the way, SSA now has an online site. I've found it very beneficial to actually go out there and take a look to see what is actually on your SSA. I found it to be more direct in being able to discern what's really actually fact and fiction. Sometimes, I don't know if you've experienced that, where you go out and you call and you get one answer, you call back the next day or even the next hour, you get a different answer. So I've found that the online internet site to be very helpful. If they're going to try to complete 960,000 hearings in 2013. Wow. The average processing time will be reduced to SSA's target level of 270 days in September 2013. Well, we'll keep looking out for that goal. Also, there's an H.R. Bill 4532 against Again, it's H.R. 4532, and it's the Social Security Disability Applicants Access to Professional Representation Act of 2010, which we need to support and encourage your congressperson, representatives, to actually support that. In my opinion, especially people with very few resources, and that's always how it is, and most people applying for Social Security disability are in that category, need professional representation to protect their interests. My concern, in my opinion, doesn't necessarily happen that way, and I'm hoping that this bill will be passed and enacted so that people who are seeking to use benefits that actually they've actually paid premiums on in their lifetime are better effectively able to receive. The next one is support disability research. And this is a budget of $107 million for the National Institute on Disability and Rehabilitation Research. And that's abbreviated NIDRR. And they conduct comprehensive and coordinated programs of research and related activities to maximize the full inclusion, social integration, employment, and independent living of individuals with disabilities of all ages. Wonderful. We really need that branch. The next one is strengthen anti-discrimination enforcement. And it says, even in tough times, the substantial investment that has been made by the administration to strengthen civil rights enforcement against racial, ethnic, social orientation, disability, religious, gender, and gender identity discrimination to continue. So I'm glad that the president recognizes that there are a lot of civil rights issues going on right now in our society. And I don't know, this is my opinion here, I'm not sure if this is just a blatant fear of the unknown or because of not being familiar with other races or ethnicities or cultures or gender things that people have that are not what people consider mainstream. I really particularly don't like that word mainstream because to me there is no mainstream. If you're trying to squeeze people into a mainstream, you're already causing a lot of problems. I think that concept of mainstream is an issue. I personally believe it's just people with different value systems, different desires, and respecting all of those and allowing everyone to participate in our society. To me, that's what I call mainstream. Mainstream is full participation in society by all of society. Okay, the next one is to provide housing for persons with disabilities. And it says, even in physical tough times, the budget continues to invest in the expansion of this program. And it says, for partnerships integrating health care and affordable housing and supportive housing for extremely low-income persons with disabilities in community settings. I believe everyone should be a part of a community. We are all here. We all should belong to a community. We should not only be in that community, but we should also support that community in the ways that we can, and those communities should support us in the way that they can. That's how we grow. That's how we all become better. Also, the president in the 2013 budget has to expand passenger rail options. And it says the present surface transportation reauthorization proposal includes funding to eliminate the longstanding ADA gap at the inner city passenger rail stations. I don't know about you, but my daughter graduated almost a couple years ago. I went back east to her graduation, and we rode a train. And I cannot tell you the suffering I incurred attempting to use that train. If it would not have been for my daughter and my mother, I know I could not have done it. Or it would have taken me hours, and I would have been so very slow. It would not have been a pretty sight. So making things more accessible to people with injuries is a very important thing, and it's better for everyone. It doesn't interfere or make it more complicated for anyone else. In fact, most times, everyone benefits from something being a little bit less complicated. Improve effectiveness of disability programs. And I agree with that. I think that there's some of them that, from my perspective, I believe people with disabilities have a bit more compassion. Well, not necessarily because they're dealing with a disability, but people who have people in their family that are disabled or people who have friends that are disabled know a little bit more because they've been exposed. And I think everyone needs to have a bit more exposure outside of what they know, because that's one of the issues that I see happening, is that everyone is kind of been isolated into their own world. And without stepping out into other people's worlds and learning about them, there's just this natural fear of the unknown. And the only way to remove that fear is to actually get to know someone with the things that you fear. Okay. And also, when people come to you trying to determine or trying to understand, be compassionate. Understand that it takes a lot for people to step out into an area that they don't know. They might not use the right terminology or say something that's not the right thing or in the right way, but they're trying. Help them to say, to understand what that means. They're coming into, in my terms, quote, a new culture for them that they don't have a basic understanding, but they're willing to learn. So if you encounter that, don't be offended by it, but help them to understand it. You know, also, I do recognize that some people just aren't coming at it for the right reasons. And I'm not saying subject yourself to any type of humiliation, embarrassment, or anything that someone would subject you to on that basis, but someone who is honestly trying to understand a culture that they don't know. And the last one here is this, it says, support the rights of people with disabilities internationally. And it's the office, Disability Office at the Department of State. And it's critical to the administration's effort to develop a comprehensive strategy to promote the rights of persons with disabilities internationally, ensure that foreign assistance incorporates persons with disabilities, and ensures that the needs of the people with disabilities are addressed in international situations. So there's a lot of programs or things in this budget that the Obama administration is considering for people with disabilities. In fact, I do recommend that you go out to the whitehouse.gov and take a look at some of the stuff that he has out there, because I think you will actually be surprised. I mean, there is so much stuff out there and information about what the president is doing to help people who are disabled, and I was just totally surprised, because I thought, what is he doing? What's going on? And most of the time, the media, typically the average media, I hate those words, a lot of the media that people listen to doesn't necessarily get into the details of what the president's doing. So you might also want to just tune into his weekly broadcast. It's a short broadcast. It's about 5 minutes, and he just summarizes what's going on so that you actually hear it firsthand from him, and you know where he's going and what his interests are as far as where he's trying to move our country forward. The White House website also describes the president's perspective as follows. It says, the president believes that disability rights aren't just civil rights to be enforced here at home, but they are universal rights to be recognized and promoted around the world. Today, there are 650 million people, that's 10% of the world's population, who live with a disability. Under President Obama's leadership, the United States of America signed the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, adding America to the list of 141 countries signing the first new human rights treaty of the 21st century. So, no, if you're disabled, your president does care about you and your condition. But he needs your help, as he says, to get Congress to move on our behalf. We need Congress to change ERISA. ERISA, in my opinion, is one of the worst legislations for people who have been injured in a car accident, who are dealing with their employers, where their employers are actually working as their insurance company. But there's a couple things that I'm going to go ahead and move on before I get into one of those things. I have a lot to say about so many different things that a lot of times I just try to hold on to the things that I really am wanting to say. I just want to mention a few of the things that the president has done. His proclamations National Disability Employment Awareness Month, which happened in 2011. And he says, during National Disability Employment Awareness Month, we recognize the skills that people with disabilities bring to our workforce, and we rededicate ourselves to improving employment opportunities in both the public and private sectors for those living with disabilities. And he also had the presidential proclamation of International Day of Persons with Disabilities. And the International Day of Persons with Disabilities is a time to renew our commitment to the principles of empowerment. And I have to repeat that word, empowerment, because that is really what disabled people desire. I'm going to go on. Empowerment, dignity, and equality. The United States has co-sponsored and joined consensus on the United Nations General Assembly Third Committee resolution titled Realizing the Millennium Development Goals for Persons with Disabilities. We must continue to embrace diversity and reject discrimination in all its forms and insist on equality of opportunity and accessibility for all. Let our efforts remind us that when we work together, we can build a world free of unnecessary barriers and include every member of our international community. And that's the end of that. But I have to add something here. Barriers. Why in the United States today do we have so many barriers for so many people, whether it's gender, race, creed, color? Why is that? Why are there barriers to exclude? We should try to move all of the barriers, whether they're about disability, the financial, housing, employment. This is not an America for the few. It is an America for the many. We need to make this for the many, and the only way to do that is to remove the barriers, to remove the ceilings that we have for people not to be able to move above. And one of the ways, in my personal opinion, to do that is for all people to begin to do their own businesses. Start your small business, whether you're able or disabled. Frequent small businesses. Put the power back in the hands of the people. Let me repeat that. Put the power back in the hands of people. When you only have a few people running things, you're going to have barriers because that's called a monopoly. We don't need monopolies. We need a barrier-free society which will allow people, whether able or disabled, to get their needs met, and to also meet other people's needs. Okay, I'm going to go on because, like I say, I have a lot to say on a lot of things. The president also signed into law the Christopher and Dana Reeve Paralysis Act. And this is the first piece of legislation that's comprehensive, aiming at improving the lives of Americans living with paralysis. One of the ones that's been talked about a lot is the Affordable Care Act and the Patient's Bill of Rights. And I just have to say, from my perspective, the Patient's Bill of Rights has been really good. I hope that we will continue to hold, when we go to see a doctor, to get a paper listing what he's defined or she's defined our visit to be that day, so there's no confusion and everything up and aboard, up and above board, because, I don't know, our society has become a very complicated place to be, and particularly when insurance companies are running our healthcare systems, in my opinion. When they can control and tell the doctors what they can and cannot do, or what the patients can and cannot do, We've moved to a place that needs to be changed. We need to put the power back in the hands of the patients and the doctors. Okay, I'm going to go on because each one of these, I have so much to say. I hope you'll come back and listen to more of our broadcast. And because there's just so much that we all can do to change where we are. And it takes each of us. It's not like we don't have power. We do have power. We just have to choose to use it. And sometimes we're afraid not to use it because we haven't been taught or we're not aware that we have it or we've been told we don't have it when we do have it. So I hope you'll come back and listen and be empowered and gain some wisdom, knowledge, and support, not only with dealing with car collisions and being disabled, but just as actually being able to move forward in your life or bring creative ideas. Okay, let's see here. And it says, starting in 2014, bar insurance companies from discrimination on the basis of medical history or genetic information. So the Affordable Care Act is going to do a lot of things. There's been a lot of discussion, but from my review, most of the things that are in this act are not being discussed. So you may want to take some time to go out to the actual White House website and take a look and see just how many things that it is helping people with disabilities but aren't being mentioned very often. Community Living Assistance Services and Support Program. It's a self-funded and voluntary long-term care insurance choice that would help people with disabilities remain in their homes, communities, and jobs through cash benefits to pay for community support services. And this is something a lot of disabled need. We've kind of built ourselves up into a society where we actually live alone. We don't have like that family support structure that was in place where we had a lot of help and doing whatever we needed done in a household. So programs like that to me are an asset to the disabled. It says ACA establishes a community first choice option covering community-based attendant services and support to help Medicaid beneficiaries with daily activities and health-related tasks. I'm going to stop there real quickly, and then I'm going to try to move on a little bit. I know if I don't, I'm not going to get through all the things I want. In fact, it looks like I might have to do a part one and part two of this because it's going to be difficult to get through most of it in the time frame that I have because I have so much I want to comment on it. One doesn't realize how you take it for granted, daily activities of getting up, getting dressed, taking a shower, feeding yourself, going out, getting in your car, or walking to the bus station, whatever it is. You take that for granted because you do it on a regular basis. But if there comes a day when it's not so easy, you'll appreciate all of those days. So establishing a community first choice option is a fantastic way to help people who are already really struggling. I don't know if you can imagine trying to live off what most people get from Medicaid. I think it's approximately $400 a month. It's a very difficult task. So, or in that price range, the Medicaid is the medical services, but it's a very difficult life to live. So people who say that, you know, these people are getting so much, I would dare them to switch shoes with these people any days and see how they survive. It's a very difficult position to be in. The president also signed into law the Frank Melvin Supportive Housing Investment Act and the Section 202 Supportive Housing for the Elderly Act. And these two bills will make a variety of improvements to the Department of Housing and Urban Development existing supporting housing programs for extremely low-income senior citizens and persons with disabilities. And by the way, many of these seniors probably have worked most of their lives, okay? And they actually are low income not because of, it's more tied to the wages that they earn more than their work history. So we need to understand that and know that Mr. President Obama's request to raise the minimum wage to $9 today will help a lot of families improve their lives. President Obama also signed into law the 21st Century Communication and Video Accessibility Act, which sets new standards so that the Americans with disabilities can take advantage of technology of our economy depends on. As a part of the legislation, the FCC established an Emergency Access Advisory Committee to develop recommendations for making the next generation emergency services accessible to people with disabilities. So there's a lot of things that are going on out there for people who are disabled. And let's see, I'm just going to name a couple of them. He says, Combating Autism Reauthorization Act of 2011, the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, the National Alzheimer's Project Act, also, which was important, and also the Early Hearing Detection and Intervention Act. So, and he also, there was an executive order 13-13548. It was increasing federal employment of individuals with disabilities. And I just want to say, it says approximately 54 million Americans are living with a disability. That could be a lot of people that are needing help. Not all disabled people are poor people, though, so don't get the wrong idea. A lot of people aren't, but a lot of people are. And a lot of people who are poor, living in poverty, that are disabled, came by that, not by any fault of their own. I'm trying to see here, there's so much information. It talks about improving the care for chronic disease. It says, one in every 10 Americans experiences a major limitation in activities because of chronic conditions. And a lot of times when you look at someone, you can't always know what's going on for them. Sometimes a lot of people have injuries that you can't see. So making preconceived notions of what's going on with someone, you might want to withhold those. I just want to name a few of the people who actually work in the Obama administration and trying to make your life better. Please don't hesitate to contact them and share your opinions or advice on things. Kareem Dale is the first special assistant to the president for disability policy. He also has a White House blog on disability, so you might want to actually take a look at that. And the White House also conducts monthly disability outreach calls to update the public on disability issues and to hear from constituents. So you may want to contact them if you have some more to say. You can actually do that at disability.gov. Again, that website is disability.gov. Dr. Charlie, what is Dr. Charlie's last name? I can't believe I blocked that off. But he's the director for the National Institute of Disability and Rehabilitation Research, and that's the NIDRR that we were talking about earlier. And Dr. Charlie, please forgive me for cutting off your name there. We have Sue Swenson is the Deputy Assistant Secretary for the Office of Special Education and Rehabilitation Services in the Department of Education. I'm going to back up for just a moment. And also you can find the director's full name if you go out and take a look at the National Institute for Disability and Rehabilitation Research. That's NIDRR is the abbreviation for that. We have a Kathleen Martinez, and she's the Assistant Secretary of Disability Employment Policy at the Department of Labor. We have Heidi Avery, and she's the Deputy Assistant to the President for Homeland Security on the National Security Staff. We have Judith Heumann, and she is a Special Advisor for International Disability Rights in the Department of State. We have Leslie A. Field, and she is Acting Administrator for the Federal Procurement Policy. And Stephen Van Roekel and is the Federal Chief Information Officer and eGov Administrator in the Office of eGovernment and Information Technology. So if you have any questions, comments, or concerns for the White House on Disability, connect their outreach team. So make sure you go to disability.gov because you matter, you are important, and if you've been in a car accident and been injured and become disabled, they need to hear from you because there's a lot of information out there, but you don't see a lot of it about that when you're in that specific unique group of people, especially when you're dealing with insurance companies or employers. A lot of times, when you're depending on them for benefits or you're waiting for Social Security and you're trying to get through that process, there's a lot of things that I personally can be made better in that system. And I'm sure you have some creative ideas too. So take a moment and actually go out there and do that. So let me see if I can sum up what actually President Obama has his record is for people with disabilities. Okay? So, President Obama has improved access to high-quality health care. He's been protecting Americans with pre-existing conditions, providing affordable coverage for Americans who have been uninsured and have pre-existing conditions. He implemented a new Patient's Bill of Rights, ensuring commitment to community-based services, continue to support persons on the autism spectrum, holds the line against cuts to Medicare, supports individuals and families affected by Alzheimer's disease, prevents hearing loss. He's got a program for that, reauthorizing early hearing detection and an intervention act. He helps those living with paralysis. He's allowing critical research to continue. He's strengthening Medicare. He's expanding access to work and educational opportunities. He's making a federal government a model employer. I don't know if I talked about that much, of actually being an employer who actually hires more people who have disabilities. They're in fact looking at it more from a strength than a weakness, and comparing it as a full package, in my opinion, versus just looking and saying this person's disabled. They look at it and say, this is a person, this is their skill set, and this is how this person can fit into our organization as an employer. Improving employment in the private sector, in my opinion, that has a long way to go for a lot of different reasons, but I'm going to go on or I'm not going to get stuck on this. It says ensuring children with disabilities receive high-quality early education. And if we really want there to be a fair playing field, I have to add this one thing. If we really want it to be a fair playing field in America, that's one of the things that's going to have to be addressed. Addressing a bullying, it says the Department of Education issues guidelines for that. I personally believe that that needs to be extended. The bullying, harassment, and intimidation should be expanded to include employers and insurance companies. And particularly for those who are disabled, I think it would make a great difference in the lives of the injured. So much suffering has gone on through that process that I hope that one day I'll have a lot of time to go into the depths and the suffering that that's entailed. But I'm going to go on. Ensuring equal access to technology for the disabled. Ensuring that everyone can fully access the government. Making it easier for Americans with disabilities to get protection under the Americans with Disability Act. Providing inclusion and representation in the federal government. Updating building standards for state and government facilities. Supporting community living. So, from my perspective, the president has actually been very involved in making the lives of people who are disabled better. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a moment. need to use your company's medical insurance? Have you been injured and applied for short-term or long-term disability? How do you know how long your coverage will last? Were there questions about ERISA, COBRA, or just dealing with your human resource department? This is the conversation for you. Saturday, September 15, 2012, at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Talking about you with Estra on Block Talk Radio. Come talk, come listen, when you can just be yourself. Thank you for listening today's broadcast. Next time you are pondering what has this president done for you lately, think back on today's list. Recognize he needs your support, your families, your friends, community or nation, our world to stand up against those actions that for generations have limited the capacities of those injured or disabled. I hope ERISA reform will be added to this list because, in my opinion, this legislation harms car accident victims more than anything. Please support the new legislation, the H.R. 4532, the Social Security Disability Applicants Access to Professional Representation. So, also take advantage of the new online Social Security Administration's website. Thank you for listening. We appreciate all that have listened in on the show today, and we hope to see you back next week. I'd also want to extend a special thank you to InternetArchives.org, Fabian Claudel, Forrest M. Santana, Frank Mills, Al Hurt, James Edwards, Cora Kea, Marcus Miller, David Reeves, and all the artists that participated in today's show, along with the articles that made our time much more interesting at the website. Please tune in again next Saturday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're coming to you from Talking About You with Estra on Block Talk Radio. Come talk, come listen, where you can just be yourself. Have a great weekend. It's really all up to you. And, Mr. President, Happy President's Day.